Casey Scorpions and the Box Hill Hawks. And a big welcome and hello to everyone who's tuning into our coverage down here on a day that is overcast. We may get a bit of rain. There is a breeze blowing. It's certainly not gusting. It is blowing from the broadcast area to the outer side of the scoreboard area of the ground. May get some rain. It looked like it was fairly bleak over in the actual Cranbourne area about half an hour ago, but it just started to spit here at about half time of the reserves. But after that, we certainly haven't had any rain since then, or spit, or mizzle, or drizzle, whatever you like to call it. Ground is in absolutely perfect condition. I've never seen Casey Fields look any better. A couple of interesting points about this ground that I'll bring up with Kane later on in the broadcast as we go through until around about quarter to two before we get right into the teeth of the game here today. But a fair bit to talk about before then, as Kane's with us. And Jim, g'day boys.
G'day. Yeah, Simon, I'm just testing the microphone. I've got the headphones working, so how am I coming through?
Yeah, no, you do sound
beautiful.
Excellent.
Okay.
You sound fine. How am I? Am I all right? Or?
Yeah,
been all right, yeah, but you do sound okay just at the moment.
I'm too quiet again, Jim.
Okay, it must be your booming voice that doesn't...
So I'm just going to get ourselves all sorted here. We've been caught a little bit on the hop, haven't we?
Have we?
Well, we were just listening to some fantastic Spanish music, yeah, and all of a sudden it stopped and we were on. But welcome to Casey Fields. That's better, Jim, for everybody who is tuning in to this broadcast here back at Casey Fields, the second time for the season. The last time I was here, I was joined by yourself, Simon. So
yeah,
back it was Saturday night where we saw the Casey Scorpions really did turn it on against Port Melbourne, just going down by the 4 points. But back here again this afternoon, the Casey Scorpions returning after a draw, after the bye just last week. So they'll be looking to really fire up here against the Box Hill Hawks, who have been pretty impressive, their two wins so far this season. But looking down the ground level, someone's staring back at me already. We'll cross the gym shortly. Phil Pearce is ready with his first guest of the afternoon here on Casey Radio 97.7 FM. We'll cross down to Phil Pearce now.
Are you ready, guys?
Go, mate.
Yeah, right. Thanks very much. Right, we've got Andrew Lacker, who's one of the assistant coaches to Peter German, for this big encounter this afternoon. Welcome, Andrew.
How you going, man?
Yeah, good yourself?
Yeah, pretty good.
And obviously, it's a big game this afternoon. Now, one name I want to mention, and I know Simon's very interested to hear, is young Matt Moore, who came through the Amateurs from De La Salle, and I think from memory he played for Victoria against South Australia at the Junction Oval last year, one to watch.
No, Matt, he's going really well at the moment. He's had a bit of a slow start to the year with injuries, but he's now starting to find his feet.
And the other thing I was going to ask you, you got big Mark Jamar on the rug, and obviously he wanted to perform pretty well this afternoon, as well a few others, like one of your leaders in Kyle Matthews, Michael Stockdale, and James Wall, Alex Silvani. So it's a pretty good list you got, and after a pretty slow start to season when you lost the first two games, it's been pretty good since then. A couple of good wins against Frankston, and even a better performance against the Coburg Tigers a few weeks back.
Yeah, look, we've been performing pretty well, but today's a real danger game. I think the guys understand that. We're coming off a bye, so we really have to be prepared to, Box Hill are going to come out pretty hard, so we've got to match it really early.
And the other thing I was going to ask you, you obviously be aware that they've been hit hard with all the injuries at Hawthorn, and obviously you're expecting, as you said, they're going to come at you pretty hard, but you're hoping for your boys to really stand up tall and make the most of it.
Yeah, I think if we stick to our game plans and our structures and everything like that, and the guys are switched on, I'm sort of fairly confident.
And no doubt, we'll just wait for this siren to stop. It's a very noisy siren, pretty air raid siren. But obviously, what's been the talk around since Melbourne have joined with the Casey Scorpions? Obviously, it's a pretty good relationship, and it's going to be playing for your own teammates and playing for the jumper.
Yeah, no, I think it's a pretty good mix between Casey and Melbourne. I think, you know, from what I've heard, I'm being new to the club, that the, you know, the Casey St Kilda sort of affiliation was, you know, not as good as what the Melbourne and Casey one is at the moment. So, look, I think it's going along pretty well, and the boys are sort of settled in pretty well together as a group, and that's probably reflected in the way we've played.
Now, when I spoke earlier about Mark Jamar, do you expect someone to rotate him in the ruck as far as you're concerned? Because obviously he can't ruck the entire game. Obviously you'll give him a few rests this afternoon, and no doubt hopefully someone will take over his position and do a pretty good job.
Yeah, no, Mark's obviously coming back from a long-term injury, so we're looking to, you know, probably play, you know, 60% of the game. So, you know, he might even have a run forward, but he's looking to play 60% in the ruck.
And it was good to see Jack Watts a few weeks ago come up through the reserves against Frankston. Frankston went in the most horrendous conditions. Then all of a sudden, he plays a fantastic game against Coburg. Obviously, there's a lot of talent amongst himself, and he's showing a lot of ability.
Oh, look, Jack's you know, the number one draft pick, so you know, there's a lot of spotlight on him. But, look, Jack's only played one game, so he really needs to back up another game. So, look, he's very talented, but... he needs to still keep working to play AFL.
And no doubt Kyle Matthews will probably be heavily tagged by one of the Box Hill players. You would expect either a Stevie Kennel or someone else. And just make sure he doesn't get too much of the ball. But you're hoping he'll get about probably 25, 30 possessions today.
Look, Kyle, the way we look at it is Kyle's a pretty important player to the club. But, you know, I think Kyle was pretty disappointed in his last game. So I'm sure he'll be out to rectify that.
Well, Andrew, thanks very much for joining us here on KC Radio, and we wish you the best for this afternoon. Good luck, and who knows, we might see you in the winner's circle, so all the best.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Back to you, guys.
Phil Pearce down there with assistant coach Andrew Lacko having a chat about the KC Scorpions' fortunes here this afternoon as they look to take on the Box Hill Hawks. Jim mentioned an interesting stat to me, Simon, on the Saturday morning footy show about these two teams. No one has won away from home. There's been 9 matches and the home team's won every one of them. So Box Hill yet to register a win here at Casey Fields.
Okay, well maybe that's that. Well, it's going to change here today in one way, one shape or form or another. And interesting to hear what he had to say there. And he was certainly upbeat about the chances of the Scorpions in this game down here today. A game that they need to win, a home game. You always want to win your home games, and they'll be hoping to do that. Sun's just starting to appear now. It's three-quarter time in the reserve grade game down here, and the Box Hill Hawks have got an unassailable lead at the moment. 16 goals, 10, 106, leading the Casey Scorpions on a paltry 7-5-47. You would expect with a score like that at three-quarter time that there's maybe a howling gale blowing down here, but it is not. It's just a beautiful day for football. Just a slight breeze blowing across the face of the ground. Sun shining. We may get a bit of rain throughout the afternoon. Doesn't matter how much rain we'll get here, though. This ground is very, very well grassed, and as soon as it does rain, it will certainly go straight through and drain right off. So conditions are absolutely ideal. Yesterday in the VFL competition, Kane, we saw some interesting results and some big scores, or one big score in the reserve grade game yesterday.
Well, yes, definitely. It is round 6 of the VFL, and I guess we'll start off with yesterday's broadcast game. And that was an interesting game out there at Coburg, which we saw Coburg really, turned the gas on in the second half, and Collingwood couldn't get really match them for their intensity. It was the Coburg Tigers 17-12-114, defeated the Pies 12-11-83. Jack Rewalt was best of field with 6 goals and a really dominating performance in that second half. About 11 goal kickers for the Coburg Tigers, so everybody was definitely around the goals. Collingwood finishing the game with 12 goals there. Dick was probably their best player, kicking 4 goals. Brian and Frost 3 apiece. In the curtain raiser down at Geelong was North Ballarat 17-9-111, defeating the Cats 9-9-63. Pozzielli kicked 5 again for Geelong. He's kicked 11 in the last 2 weeks, so he's in pretty good form. But the reigning premier starting to really warm up. That's season 2009 and defeated the Cats. And the ABC game yesterday was Port Melbourne 16-9-105, defeating Frankston 12-12-84. The Dolphins were actually in front, Simon, by 13 points at three-quarter time, but just really couldn't cut the mustard in that final quarter, kicking 5 points against the breeze, and Port Melbourne kicked 6 goals at home to overrun the Dolphins.
Yeah, I heard that was a good game up until about half time, and a couple of the boys that were watching it saying that Frankston may have got away with a win there, but then just lost some opportunities close to goal, and Port just ended up running away in the end. But that was probably the best game that Frankston had played in this season so far, but they're still 6-0.
Very, very well against Williamstown.
Did they? Losing by
6
so
points.
So maybe a win's not far off the scoreboard for them.
Well, Phil Pearce was telling me that they actually had 3 late withdrawals as well, with Marcus Murigliani, their ruckman, Peter Whelan, and also another playmaker, Aaron Murray, who kicked 6 goals against Williamstown, all pulled out as late withdrawals. So losing those 3 players, it's basically a block at each end.
Well, it's not going to help.
No, it's definitely not. And they haven't won a game yet. So they've now started the game of the season with 6 straight losses.
Yes.
Have the Dolphins. But there's one more match that we should really discuss here. I know Jim Hines loves these stats. Williamstown versus Bendigo. Williamstown, 25 goals, 17, 167. Defeated the Bendigo Bombers 10-6, 66. Now, that's a 101-point victory for the team sitting on top of the ladder. You think that's a pretty stock-standard sort of result. But when you look at their reserves, the Bendigo Bombers, 3-5-23, went down to the Williamstown reserve side, 33 goals, 23, 221.
Well, that's going back to the good old days of VFA football, some thumpings like that, Jim.
Yep. Just a matter of interest in that game, Williamstown actually performed better in their previous encounter against Bendigo, when Bendigo could just muster up 1-4, and Williamstown 23-27, 165. So Bendigo are on the improve if you follow that trend line.
Well, you'd also say that Williamstown have got the wood on them there as well.
That's right. It was 58 goals to 13 if you're a Bendigo supporter up there at QE Oval yesterday.
That's a lot of goal scoring.
Yep. Well, for one side it is, yeah, definitely.
71 goals scored for the
14
game.
Individual Williamstown goal kickers.
Must have been a howling breeze.
Little kick six.
Must have been something.
Well, at half-time in the reserves, it was Williamstown 17-14, 116, defeating the Bendigo Bombers 1-4-10.
Yep. So what were the goal kickers in that game, Jim?
In the seniors, little kick six. Then it was just Hope and Slather, Cloak, O'Keefe, Egan, Rose, Reed, Grant, all kicked 2 each. Davies, Joyce, Stack, Jolly, Ward, Stretton and Cordy all kicked 1 goal each.
Well,
so 14 individual goal kickers from their 25 goals.
And that brings us on to the goal kicking ladder as it stands at the moment. Nick Sortner was in front, but now Podsiadli's taken over. Yep. Sortner plays today. I guess he's playing down there at Chernside Park.
He's been selected, but he's doubtful.
Doubtful
at best.
Certainly monitor that throughout the afternoon. And Podsiadli leads the way with the Cats. He kicked 5 yesterday as Kane told us, and he's now on 20 goals for the season after 6 completed games for him. So his average is around about 3 and a couple of 3
started
goals.
Slow.
Matt Little's been doing all right. He's at D6,
yeah.
And he'll be shooting up the ladder.
Yes, he kicked 6 yesterday. He's on 19, yeah.
So
he's sharing
very well.
Second billing with Sortner at the moment. So Podsiadli leading the way with Sortner in second and Matthew Little also in equal second. Most of the guys who figure on the goal-kicking table in the VFL football record actually peppered away at the goals yesterday. Okay. Podsiadli 5, Patrick Rose 2, Little 6, Chris Bryan 3, Schultz 2, Dixon 2 for Frankston, and Bonadio 3 for Port Melbourne. So they all added to their tally. That's quite unusual to see that on a goal-kicking table.
And Brad Dick, who kicked the 4 goals for Collingwood, had a couple of games where he's kicked multiple goals as well, so he'll be putting himself back amongst those goal kickers. So I guess it's the football's kind of changed a little bit now in the VFL, where we have those designated players who just play out of the goal square a lot more. We saw it last week with Maguire kicking 5 goals, spent a lot of time in the forward, deep inside forward 50, and it was used again with Chris Bryan and Matthew Little, who's also been used in a similar role.
Yeah, okay. So, now, they don't go outside of the arc. They'll just hang back inside the arc, maybe just play a few metres outside of the goal square.
Yeah,
they won't go to the flank. They'll go straight up the middle.
Quite often. Yeah. I mean, sometimes they'll be, you know, rotated if they're not getting a lot of the football, but generally when the quarter starts, they'll be starting out of the goal square as that key position forward. We've seen Sutton do it for years. And, and Podsiadli, who at times with Werribee was played in different positions, really, wasn't he, rotating between the back line and the forward line, because they really lacked that dominant big man Werribee last year. So him spending more time in the forward line will definitely put some pressure on Sortner. I think it came down to the final round last year, the goal-kicking tally, and Sortner didn't play and Podsiadli didn't kick enough goals. So if he's going to spend more time forward and, I guess, better supply from some of those younger Collingwood midfielders, Podsiadli could be a dangerous threat to Sortner, who I think's won 7 or 8.
Eight, I think he's going for 9 this year. And, of course, don't forget that he also was a backman, a ruckman and a forward player for Sandringham, Nick Sortner. Before he started moving around Frankston, Northern Bullants, he was used in that spinal area of the ground. He was everywhere.
Wasn't he originally recruited as a backman?
He probably was.
Yeah.
They played him down forward. He was okay. They moved. They even put him into the ruck. So he was an all-round-the-grounds man. Speaking of all-round-the-grounds men, he's just arrived. How are you, Darren?
Oh, I'm going very well. Got stuck in some extensive traffic. I know you're a white man.
Oh, yeah, what happened?
They closed the Monash Freeway at Foster Road or Forster Road to do some works on the bridge, so they all diverted us around.
You just avoid that area. You do.
50-minute trip took 2 hours.
Well, let's say anyone stuck in traffic on the way to the ground here, they've still got plenty of time to get here. It's only 1:15. Game to get underway at 2:00, so 45 minutes till we get underway. Well, and how's the crowd coming in?
It's going very well, actually. On the way in, the car park's it's moved off into the grass area on the other side, so it's more packed than I've seen it for quite a while. But just on the point Kane just made about it sort of going back to the big men in the goal square, it seems to be like a reverse evolution. The game changed a bit, moving away from that sort of thing, but it's starting to happen a bit more now with the power forwards getting more of a role at all levels of the game. But it's going to be interesting this afternoon because obviously Casey's form over the course of the season has improved as each game has gone on, whereas Box Hill, who started very, very well with a couple of victories, they've been disappointing in the last fortnight. There's been a number of reasons for that, of course, with the extensive injury list as a result of Hawthorn's troubles as well. That has its effect on Box Hill. They were touched up last week by Collingwood. But Casey, that first-round loss is looking more and more like an aberration as the weeks go on. They were pretty impressive at home against Port Melbourne in narrowly going down, and since then, two very good wins, one on the road to Frankston, and a good win over somewhat of a surprise win over Coburg, is certainly the nature of it, a 7-goal win there. So interesting to see how Box Hill bounce back from, I guess, a disappointing couple of weeks. Casey had the bye, which hopefully for them doesn't halt their momentum too much. But testing time is a big hit there in the twos. The Casey player still struggling to get up here. He's got a trainer come to him. It was a hospital pass from the kick-in.
It was a fair bump. It was
certainly a fair bump.
It was
basically set up by a bad kick-in from the point.
Now, Dazza, before you fire on all cylinders and give us all your best stuff as part of our preview here, you can text us. 0424-438-415 if anybody wants to join in and ask some questions. Brendan Bolton will be our next guest at about 1:20 to join Phil Pearce at ground level. So if you've got a question for us, or you want to know how some of the young Melbourne players are playing here in the reserves, have seen quite a few of them. We'll go through a bit more detail about this game, Darren, because I've got a couple of questions about some of the selections here. A couple of players seem to have been dropped here playing in the twos, notably Pearce Liddell, who's started the season in consecutive form, returned after the bye and not in the team, and Liam Jarrah, who's playing out of the goal square here this afternoon. He'll be interesting to watch how this reserve game goes. The Scorpions are really trailing at the moment, 6 minutes into the third quarter, and it's the Casey 7-5-47, the Hawks 19-12-126. You're mentioning having difficulties arriving at the ground, Simon. Last week at Frankston, there was actually a car crash.
Oh, was there?
A car crash into a train. The first intersection or train.
Was it serious?
Spot. I don't know the outcome. But
I think it just took the back of the car off, but just blocked the road.
Serious enough.
It blocked the traffic and no trains getting through there, so people had to try and scurry their way to Carr Street. So the big crowd arrived by half time. But
no pun intended there either. No.
Yes, I know. I'll let that one go through.
Now, let's have a look at the ladder before we go into you with what you've got there, Darren, and there's a few things I want to bring up
That's what we do. We have a bit of a talk, and then we get a bit more stuck into the preview of the game closer to 2:00 interviews are done.
After yesterday, Williamstown still on top of the VFL ladder, undefeated. They've won 5.
They're off percentage boost too.
Hey?
The percentage would be up around the 180 mark after it was 160 going into the round, so 100-point win on that. But interesting how you mentioned the twos. They have 33 goals kicked, but no one kicking more than 4. That's quite unique.
Oh, it's well shared.
Absolutely.
And I think in the best players, probably good team effort. Because it's good to share. We all like to share, no matter what. But sharing the football around when you're playing the game is a wonderful experience, something that everyone should do.
Well, the Northern Bull Ants in second place with the bye.
Now, it's good to
week.
See them up there. Yes, now, it's been a long time since we've seen the Bull Ants, Acca Preston, up in the top 4 of a ladder for a long time. We've always hoped that they get to a certain spot on the ladder and... Well, finally, they may just finish in the top 4 this year. It'd be great for them to do that.
Yeah, well, a lot of the pressure on them, obviously, Port Melbourne have joined them on 4-1.
Yeah.
Collingwood, I believe they lost yesterday, is that right?
Yes,
they
did.
So they're 3-3. North Ballarat with a win joined them on four wins. So three sides now tied for second position there with the four victories.
Yeah,
with, so Northern Bullowns still with a percentage advantage.
Boys, before we finish off the ladder, we've got our next guest to join us on KC Radio. We spoke to him on Saturday morning. It's Box Hill coach Brendan Bolton. He'll join Phil Pearce at ground level. Cross down to Phil now.
Right, thanks very much, Kane. We've got Brendan Bolton here, the Box Hill Hawks coach. And Brendan, welcome to KC Radio 97.7 FM.
Yeah, welcome, guys. Thanks for having me along here today.
Now, one person I want to mention before we get on to the team, young Jordan Lowell. Now, is he in relation to his dad who played basketball and then played at North Melbourne and the Box Hill Hawks?
Yeah, for sure. That's a great connection. It's really fortunate that he was drafted by Hawthorn, and that maintains that strong connection. I think that's really important for culture and tradition. So, yeah, that is, yeah.
Now, I was going to ask you, you've got a few injuries at Hawthorn, which certainly makes an immediate impact on your side. Does it have a real effect, and are you expecting not only the Hawthorn players to be one of the better players, but everyone to contribute to the team from all 22 across the board? And that's what you'll be hoping. And with those sort of injuries, you obviously are going to come out pretty hard and pretty strong against Casey today.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, there's no doubt, and it's been well documented, that Hawthorn have had quite a big injury toll, and that has the impact on VFL level. We haven't had many Hawthorn players at all, but in saying that, we don't dwell on that. It's a great opportunity for our young blokes to really develop. So in terms of exposure to VFL senior footy, we've had quite a few.
Now, a couple of players I want to mention, Luke Markovic and Stevie Kenner, the co-captains of the Box Hill Hawks. And also, it's great to have Stevie Kenner back after having a stint in Adelaide before that. He was on Carlton's list and played most of his footy with the Northern Bulllands. Found it very hard to get a game of count, but obviously you are absolutely wrapped to having back.
Oh, for sure. Stevie and Marco have been fantastic leaders for us, and they're not only just leading off the field, they're playing some really good footy. And what's great about Stevie is that you can play in all areas of the ground. So he's been a real weapon for us because we can throw him all over the place, and he's really open-minded to that. So he's been a great win for us.
Now, are you expecting to probably do a hard tagging role on Kyle Matthews this afternoon, or do you reckon you might get someone else to do it?
Oh, listen, I think Kyle needs to be considered. We'll just wait and see how the game unfolds. But if he starts to open us up, for sure, we need to look at that. He's been in terrific form.
And the other person I want to mention, Brent Renner, obviously will probably play in the ruck this afternoon because I know last year, if my memory serves me correctly, played in the Hawthorn Premiership. But obviously it's he's had a few injuries along the way and finding it pretty hard to get back into that Hawthorn lineup.
Well, listen, Renault's just he's still a developing ruckman. He hasn't played a great amount of AFL footy, but he's a rare talent. We all will accept that. So he's just coming back to focus on a few of his intensity measures. He has that right. I can see him back in the AFL soon.
Now, the other thing I was going to ask you, you started off pretty well winning your first two games against Northern Bullowns and then Coburg, but it's been a little bit downhill, a bit of a loss there against Werribee at Chirnside Park, where obviously Box Hill do not play well out there, unfortunately, but we put that in the past. And last week, a bit disappointing against Collingwood. What are you going to do to rectify that situation as far as getting back on the winning list is concerned?
Oh, I hope we come out with a really strong mindset. Our ability to hunt the hard ball and lay effective tackles was diminished a little bit over the last couple of weeks, and we started really well with it. So if we get those back on track, I think it gives us a real chance and a real contest again.
And obviously with the ground conditions being so dry, you obviously expect there's going to be a lot of games being not only a lot of marking in the air, but there'll be a lot of ground level stuff as well.
Yeah, I think it'll be a pretty fast game. They can really run the ball well, Casey, so I would have thought it's a pretty fast game for the spectators to watch.
Well, Brendan, look, thanks for joining us here on KC Radio. It's always good to catch up with you, and who knows, we might be chatting to you as far as winning the game is concerned, and we wish you all the best this afternoon, and thanks for joining us, and good luck.
Yeah, thanks for your support, guys. Cheers.